It is Friday, July 10th. We are looking at a massive jump in presidential revenue, a pivot in the AI arms race, and the rigid future of sports ownership. Let's get into it. Donald Trump's financial disclosures reveal a massive shift in his revenue streams. His reported annual income jumped from $622 million in 2024 to $2.2 billion in 2025. That growth is largely tied to his move into cryptocurrency, specifically through meme coins and his company, World Liberty Financial. This is a sharp reversal from his previous stance, where he publicly called crypto a scam. The issue here is that he is using the presidency as a vehicle to promote speculative, high-risk assets. Because the president is not bound by the same ethics statutes as cabinet members, the administration is framing these business activities as legitimate. Investors in his coins are essentially buying proximity to the executive branch, evidenced by exclusive events held for top holders. It is a complete erosion of the idea that the presidency is a public trust, turning it into a platform for private equity. This extends to international policy. The Trump family is involved in resorts and infrastructure projects in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Kazakhstan. These deals often run parallel to U.S. government policy. When a state-linked entity partners with the president's family, and the administration subsequently offers that same state favorable trade status or security guarantees, it creates a massive appearance of corruption. It is becoming impossible to tell where national interest ends and private profit begins. In the UK, Nigel Farage is facing questions about his party's finances. He attempted to use the Clacton by-election to pivot away from these inquiries, but the strategy failed to gain traction. Farage is attempting to import an American-style culture war, but it is not landing in the British political environment. By pivoting away from serious electoral contests to engage in vanity projects, he is shifting Reform UK from a credible challenger to a fringe curiosity. Figures like Rupert Lowe, pronounced Low, are leaning into algorithmic politics, using social media to drive engagement with inflammatory content. It works for the metrics, but it destroys their reach with the median voter. These leaders are more focused on pandering to American prejudices about Britain than they are on actually scrutinizing the government. It is a grift that leaves the current administration without effective opposition. Speaking of conspiracy, we are seeing a strange feedback loop regarding the national security state. A theory is circulating that a group of scientists were killed to hide knowledge of UFOs. This is a modern remix of a 1970s British hoax called Alternative 3. It has moved into the mainstream to the point where the FBI is conducting a probe into the origins of these claims. The danger here is that media coverage gives these baseless claims an unearned sense of authority. It forces the state to use tax dollars to investigate ghosts. It distracts from real governance. And worse, it causes real trauma for the families of the people involved. In the United States, the Democratic Party is struggling with its vetting process. This was highlighted by the withdrawal of Maine Senate candidate Graham Platner. The party lacks a formal vetting process because they fear it would alienate primary voters. This leaves the door open for candidates who collapse as soon as their histories are scrutinized. This is compounded by the fact that Congress is essentially a gerontocracy. The system rewards long-serving incumbents and protects the wealth of older generations, often at the expense of younger people who cannot access housing or capital. Because primary voters and the donor class are older, the policy framework is locked into protecting entitlements that the current tax structure cannot actually support. The AI industry is moving fast, and the focus is shifting away from just making models smarter. We are seeing a pivot toward how these systems get used in the real world. There is a rollout of new models, though many of the specific names circulating in recent reports remain unverified. We are moving from static, text-based interfaces toward full duplex, continuous interaction. This means the AI can listen, speak, and process information simultaneously. It removes the clunky, walkie-talkie style of interaction we have been stuck with. There is also a mounting realization that the approach of treating models like black boxes is hitting a dead end in high-stakes fields like medicine. When you are dealing with patient safety, you cannot have a model hallucinating a dosage. The engineering focus is shifting to building trust architectures. This means wrapping these models in layers of deterministic validation and grounding frameworks that force the AI to stick to verified data. There is a theory being floated that OpenAI could be insolvent within 18 months. The claim is that their burn rate is unsustainable and they are struggling to make money from retail users. This financial pressure is why there is talk of delaying their IPO until 2027. The theory is that an audited financial disclosure right now would be a disaster for investor confidence. In sports, FIFA is facing a crisis of institutional neutrality. The United States government intervened to ensure player availability for the World Cup, and FIFA caved. By allowing political pressure to override established disciplinary rules, FIFA has effectively stopped being a regulator and started being a political actor. This is part of a broader Americanization of the sport under Gianni Infantino, pronounced Johnny Infantino. They are prioritizing franchise-style flexibility and star power over consistent rule application. The business of sports is undergoing a hard pivot towards structural rigidity. Private equity and high-net-worth investors are demanding operational discipline and total control over assets. In the NBA expansion race, groups led by names like Magic Johnson, Bill Foley, and Jerry Colangelo, pronounced Colangelo, are staring down entry costs between $8 and $10 billion. Meanwhile, the College Sports Commission is cleaning up the nil mess. They have been reviewing deals to ensure they represent actual marketing activations rather than pay for play. That same desire for control is moving into the venue space. The Buffalo Bills are looking at their old stadium site as a liability to be fixed with mixed-use development. It is the same logic driving the push for team-based leagues, like the one Greg Maffei, pronounced Maffei, is trying to launch for horse racing. By mimicking the Formula One model, they are trying to bait shorter attention spans. Oaklawn Park moved the Arkansas Derby to 3 weeks before the Kentucky Derby to attract elite horses. It is a calculated play for relevance, but trainers are now stuck in a bind. They have to decide if this race is a true peak performance for their horse or just a tactical way to grab qualifying points. There is a similar tension building around the Preakness Stakes. The industry knows that moving the race to 3 or 4 weeks after the Kentucky Derby would likely make it more commercially viable. Instead, the sport remains firmly anchored to tradition. Finally, a few other things worth knowing today. First, look at the housing market. Financial history shows that real estate appreciation is not a guarantee. For most of American history, inflation-adjusted home values stayed flat. Next, our relationship with wildlife. We tend to vilify and try to wipe out a species before we eventually pivot to sentimental protection. It is a predictable cycle that only kicks in once the animal no longer poses a threat to us. Then there is the state of reality television. Shows like Love Island USA are using what you could call the campfire effect. They mix group storytelling with interactive feedback, which keeps people hooked in a way that static content does not. Finally, the tech sector is showing some cracks in its infrastructure. The rapid growth of artificial intelligence data centers has made the industry entirely dependent on memory chip makers like SK Hynix, pronounced SKA Chinix. Their market value is tied directly to the production requirements of NVIDIA, pronounced NVIDIA, graphics processing units. It is a hell of a thing to watch these massive industries outsource their stability to a handful of chip manufacturers. When you realize the whole house of cards depends on one or two suppliers, you have to wonder what the plan is if those supply chains actually hiccup. Anyway, that is the news. That is where we are ending the week. Take a breath, log off, and try to have an actual weekend. I will see you back here on Monday.